Good morning, everyone. Might need a little support today, church. I'm feeling a little distracted and nervous, but this is the word of the Lord, so. Today's verse comes from Romans 10, verses 5 through 21. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? For Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those that did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Joy. Well, recently, I got to fulfill a lifelong dream, a lifelong item on my bucket list, and that was to go to Spain. My youngest daughter, Hannah, she has been studying out there. She's doing a semester of study out in Spain, and so it gave Debbie and I a great excuse to finally go out and visit Spain. Now, one of the things, probably the most important thing for me to do in Spain was to visit a ham bar. Go ahead and put up that picture. This is me at the ham bar. And what could be better than a place where you can get meat and a place where you can get beverages? And you would think if I was fulfilling a lifelong dream that I would have a bigger smile on my face. Go ahead and take that down. But I think the reason I looked like that is I was nervous. I was nervous. I was a little bit concerned because what you don't see in that picture is the bar area. We had arrived at the height of the lunch hour, and the bar area was in total chaos, standing room only, and people crowding around and getting food. And so I was nervous. How was I going to make my way in there and actually get something? Well, we finally made our way in, and with my form of Spanish that I call Spanglish, and pointing and whatnot, I was able to order what I would hope would be a wonderful plate of ham, you know, costing about 10 to 12 euros. And so what popped out was this small plate of ham, little chunks of ham. And I looked at it, and I was a little bit crestfallen, not thinking that I would get something else. Well, Demi and I decided to go with it, and we're starting to eat this ham and saying things like, yeah, it does taste a little bit better than what you can get in America, and it's smoky, and it's smooth, and all the while, inside, I'm just kind of consoling myself, like, wow, this is, like, I spent that much money on that? And then, out comes this beautiful plate. Go ahead and pop that up there. Yeah, the one over there on your left is the tiny plate of ham chunks that we thought we were paying for, but what we got was that beautiful, beautiful plate of ham. Go ahead and take it down. I don't want everybody to get hungry for lunch quite yet. What we didn't realize is that that little plate that came out, it was for everybody. In all that chaos, I didn't pick up on the fact that just like when we go to a bar in America, we get the free peanuts, or when we go to a Mexican restaurant, we get chips and salsa for free. We didn't realize that that little plate of cuttings was for everyone. It was meant for everyone. It was free. We didn't have to pay for it. And I think we can come to the gospel and think that the gospel is not meant for us, that it's not accessible, that it's not free, but it is. The gospel is meant for everyone at all times and in all places. And if your heart has been transformed by the grace of the gospel, it's going to propel you to radiate the good news of the gospel outward in word and in deed. This morning, as we look at the passage, we're going to learn four aspects of the gospel. We're going to learn that it is accessible, that it's all-inclusive, that it compels us to mission, and that it calls for faith. Those four aspects of the gospel. If you're taking notes, you don't have to jot that down. You know they're going to show up a little bit later. Let's jump right into our scripture, and it starts in verse 5 with this. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. That little word for is a transitional word. It's connecting the last passage from last week to our passage this week. And if you remember last week, Eric did a masterful job showing us that Christ is the end to sweat it, to get it spirituality. In other words, righteousness is obtained by faith, not by keeping the law. Verse 5 here is giving us the why. It's telling us why. It's an exclamation point on why you ought to believe that faith in Jesus is the way to obtain righteousness. It's basically a live by the sword, die by the sword type of statement. In other words, in order to obtain righteousness by rule keeping, you have to do it perfectly. No mistakes allowed. There's a guy whose name is Alex Honner. Go ahead and put this picture up. This is him on the face of El Capitan, thousands of feet in the air. Alex has become famous due to a documentary called Free Solo. And in that documentary, he talks about what it means to be a free climber. Free climbers are crazy, first of all. What they do is they climb thousands and thousands of feet in the air without ropes. And he describes what this is like. He says, think about this, El Capitan, thousands and thousands of feet, which means thousands and thousands of moves. He says, every single move that I make, every place I put my foot, every crevice I put my hand in has to be perfect. I've got to execute it to perfection. Otherwise, the results, well, they're fatal. They're fatal. Righteousness by law keeping is this way. One mistake is fatal. James says it this way: for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. And I want you to remember this picture. Have it seared in your memory. If you've yet to follow Jesus by faith, if you're trying to come to God by your performance, remember this. It has to be perfect. Not a single mistake, otherwise it's fatal. And if you are a believer in Jesus this morning, I want you also to sear this in your memory. That when you fail and you think that you've got to earn God's favor, that your standing before God is based on your performance, remember this picture. You're never going to get there. It's never going to be good enough. You'll never be perfect. So what is the alternative? The alternative our passage is talking about is righteousness by faith. This is the opposite of a sweat it to get it type of spirituality. Verses 6 and 7 show us that righteousness obtained through faith is not something hard. It's accessible. Here Paul is quoting Moses back in Deuteronomy chapter 30. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. In order to understand what's going on here, you've got to understand Deuteronomy 30. In Deuteronomy 30, Moses is on the plains of Moab. He's with the people of Israel. They're about to go into the promised land. And this is the interesting thing. And he tells them, when you fail, when you blow it, when you break covenant with God and he has scattered you among the nations, how do you get back? And he quotes these verses. And these verses are meant to say to Israel, the way back is not hard. The way back is easy. You don't have to scale the heights. You don't have to go to the depths. The way back to God is easy. And Paul is quoting Deuteronomy 30 here in the context of righteousness by faith to show us that righteousness by faith through the gospel is easy. It's accessible. It's not hard. It's not insurmountable. In fact, righteousness by faith is as easy and close as your mouth and your heart. Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that easy. It's that simple. You may be here this morning and saying, well, I'm a Christian. How does this apply to me? I would say this, when you have blown it, this is the way back. It's easy. The way back is the gospel, coming back to Jesus, turning back to God. God has made it easy for us to come back to him. Whether you're an unbeliever, whether you're a believer, he has always made the way back to him easy and accessible. You know, in the corporate world, there's this thing called a performance improvement plan. Now, if you don't know about this, I think maybe that's a good thing because you've never been on one or you've never had to give a performance improvement plan. What this is if you're on the job and you are lagging, you're not doing such a great job, management is going to give you a performance improvement plan. And these are a set of goals and metrics that they're pointing out that you need to work on and you need to fix it by so-and-so. And if you don't, there are consequences. There are consequences. And what Scripture is showing us this morning is that when we fail, or if we've never come to him, God doesn't require a performance improvement plan of you to come back to him, to earn his favor, to earn his smile. You know, this is one of the distinguishing things about the Christian faith that separates it from all other religions, all other philosophies. They require you to get better, to try harder, to do more. And that's not so with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God opens his arms and says, come back to me, turn to me and be saved. Turn to me and be saved. And so the first aspect of the gospel is that it is accessible. Secondly, the gospel is all-inclusive. Verses 11 through 13, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I don't think we can really appreciate how stunning of a statement these verses give us. A couple weeks ago, Gordon Campbell was here and he brought a wonderful message and unpacked a little bit for you what it was like. That it was astonishing that this sect of the Jews, that they're so exclusive, that had all of these particular things, would somehow be united in the church with these secular pagan Greeks, and what united them was the gospel of Jesus. And when we study the Bible, when we look to the future, when we look at our eschatology tells us that there is no other religion, there is no other philosophy or group that brings together people of such diverse backgrounds around the throne of God, worshiping him. And so around the throne of God, what will be in the future are Jews and Palestinians, Russians and Ukrainians, Chinese and Taiwanese, and yes, Democrats and Republicans, all around the throne of God, united and worshiping together because they have all called upon the Lord in faith. Starbucks has this amazing policy about the use of their space. It's called a third space policy. What it says in this policy is that anyone could come in. Anyone could sit in their cafe. Anyone could use the restrooms. You can even go up and ask for a drink of water, free water. You don't have to purchase anything to be there. Everyone is welcome. It includes everyone. Everyone is welcome. What would it be like for the Church of Jesus Christ to open its arms and welcome everyone? They say the most divided hour in America is Sunday morning. And as we look around, how well is Lake Baldwin Church doing with that? Do you long for a church that brings together all nationalities, the uber rich and the poor, the outcasts and rejects in society, the sexually broken, the prisoner, all types of people united in faith, united in faith. Verse 11 says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. That's a church that we aspire to be. To open our arms with the welcome that Jesus welcomes us. Everyone is welcome. Thirdly, the gospel, it compels mission. Verses 14 and 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Because this good news, it's accessible. It's meant for everyone on planet Earth. It necessitates evangelism. It necessitates us engaging in gospel ministry. You know, one of the things that we learned in chapter 9 was this idea of election, God's sovereignty in the salvation of people. He chooses whom he will have mercy upon. And one of the arguments against election is that it means that the church doesn't have to do anything. But God not only ordains who will come to him, he ordains the means by which he will accomplish it, and he accomplishes it through evangelism, through sharing the gospel. And what we have in these verses is not only the mission of the church. I believe what we have here is the mission for everyone who is in Christ Jesus to engage in gospel ministry. And it's one of the reasons why the mission, the vision of Lake Baldwin Church is good news for the lost, for the found, for the city, and for the world. It's about radiating this good news. Now, you may not know about the long form of our vision. It's actually on the backside of your bulletin there. It's there every single week. And I want to bring it to your attention because it points to the why. It points to the motivation why we would share the gospel. And I want to marinate a little bit on that. It starts out like this: transformed by the grace of Christ and compelled by his love. Transformed by the grace of Christ and compelled by his love. And then it goes on and unpacks good news for the lost, good news for the found, good news for the city, good news for the world. You can see that as you read bits and pieces, the various ways we want to see that happen. And I want you to see that it is God's love and God's grace that should motivate evangelism. We think of evangelism as a burden, something that we have to do as Christians. And I want you to see that it comes from a heart that has been loved. It comes from a heart that has been given grace. And we see this in verse 20 especially, where it says, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. If you're in Christ Jesus this morning, that describes you. At one point in your life, that describes you. You were not looking for Jesus, and God showed you Jesus. He gave you grace. And that grace ought to propel us to radiate the gospel outward. So the question this morning is, how are you engaged in this gospel ministry? And the good news I have for you this morning, as I've talked to people at Lake Baldwin Church, I hear stories and stories over and over again about how you guys are invested in the lives of your neighbors, your coworkers, and your friends, and it encourages me so much. You are engaged in gospel ministry. Let me encourage you, continue to do that. God has placed every single one of us without exception in places that are broken, places that there's darkness. We get that great privilege of bringing the beauty of Jesus into those spaces. Back in 1986, I was graduating from high school. Some of you guys are doing the math already. As a graduation gift, my pastor, he gave me a Bible, a very simple act. He didn't share the gospel with me. He gave me a Bible. And it was through encountering Jesus in the Bible that I came to faith. Very simple act of gospel ministry. How are you engaged in gospel ministry? If you're in Christ Jesus, every single person here came to Christ Jesus through someone else. The gospel, it compels us into mission. Fourthly and lastly, the gospel, it calls for faith. Verses 16 and 17, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And Paul here now in this section, he's returning to this question of the Jews. And he's showing us by quoting Isaiah that not only back in Isaiah's time, the Jews rejected the good news, but even in the Roman church, what they were experiencing as well, some Jews did not believe. And the scripture this morning is encouraging us, calling us to obedience. You see, the gospel calls for obedience. We obey the gospel how? We obey the gospel by believing it. We express our obedience by expressing our faith in the person of the message of the gospel, and that is Jesus. And so it's not simply hearing the gospel. Verse 19 that Paul quotes from the Old Testament is all about that. We don't have time to unpack that. It's not just about hearing. It's not just about understanding. And the next verse is about that as well. It's about trusting. It's about obeying the gospel by believing the gospel. You know, as a few months ago when I was making all of these plans for international travel, I realized how much trust goes into making travel plans. I was on all these websites, Spanish websites for hotels and tours, and first they come up in Spanish, and you've got to click it over to English if it's possible. And then you work hard to try to understand what you're getting into, and you read it, and you hear it, and you understand it. But you know when the moment of truth is? Pull out that credit card. Give them your credit card number. That's the moment of truth. That's when you trust that all that you've read, all that you understand is going to be fulfilled. The gospel is calling us not only to hear it, to understand it, but to trust in it, to obey it by expressing faith in Jesus. And I want to leave you with this from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Question 86 says this: what is faith in Jesus Christ? Here's the answer. Faith in Jesus Christ. It's a saving grace whereby we receive and we rest upon him alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. Very succinct, a very brief way of stating what it means to have faith in Jesus. These words that we use, receive, rest, believe, they're all saying the same thing, to trust in the person and the work of Jesus. And this morning through the scripture, Jesus is calling. He's calling you this morning not to just be a hearer or someone who understands, but someone to obey him and to follow him in faith. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you have made it easy, but it wasn't easy for you. The road that you walked was very difficult. The pain that you experienced was so hard. But through your stripes, we are healed. And through your pain and through your difficulty and through the complexity of what you did, we have access to salvation. And we thank you for that this morning. Lord, let us not just hear, let us not just understand, let us obey the gospel of Jesus Christ by following Jesus in faith. Lord, I pray for Lake Baldwin Church in the mission of radiating this good news. Lord, I'm so thankful for the many in our congregation who live a life that is on mission, who live a life in word and deed, spreading this good news, this message of grace. I pray that you would continue to encourage us in this endeavor. And would you, through your great gospel, display your power, display your glory, and overcome darkness and evil. In Jesus' name, amen.